Let me call your attention to the announcements in the bulletin. Mary Jo will not be here this morning. They have ice on the road, so she called early. Jim, you want to come and lead worship? Misuse you? Hopefully don't misuse you, but probably so. There are a number of announcements in the bulletin. We need a word concerning the children tonight. Have you made a decision? Be here at 5 o'clock. Be here with refreshments at 5 o'clock for any of the children that want to be here. We think everything will be melted by then, possibly. And so that's our... In January, we added a service activity for the children on the first Sunday, and this will be the third meeting there. So get your children here if they're fifth grade down to five-year-old, or somewhere between the five-year-old and fifth grade. One announcement. Jerry, you want to make an announcement about Patrick? North Rover, what's a big city? North Rover had 8 inches of snow. You didn't get that much here, but we had, Susan measured, it was 8 inches. Okay.
Are there any other announcements? Yes, Susan. Attendance registers have been passed out. If they haven't, would someone please do so? And also, be sure to write on there you're in the 10:15 service. Any prayer or praise requests this morning?
Ms. Linder's mother passed away on Monday. Being from New Hampshire, the ground is frozen. They will not have a service till later in the spring, but this has got to be very difficult for family and friends. She only wants a graveside service. So, Ms. Linder, our heart goes out to you, and we have made contact, and the Sunshine Committee, has made contact, and but it is a long wait for their situation. Kind of unusual for us, but it's pretty normal way up north. So lift Ms. Linder up and the family in your prayers. You have one brother, is that right? One brother.
Are there any others at this time? Okay, if you would, let's pause for a moment of silent prayer, preparing our hearts to receive the word today. Thank you. thank you, John, for taking care of lighting the candles every week.
Anything else?
Our gathering words today, if you would stand with me, from Mark 1. Good news is at hand. God calls us this day.
Repent and believe. Trust in the goodness of God.
Good news is at hand. God calls us this day.
Turn from death to despair. Turn from temptation to sin.
Good news is at hand. God calls us this day.
The time is fulfilled. God's kingdom is near.
If you would please turn in your hymnal number 555.
Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us hope, and you have given us something to strive for. But Lord, you have made it available to us of your grace and mercy. You have given it as a free gift, heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us salvation from sin, that which would keep us out of your heavenly Zion. And Lord, you have taken our sin away in Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the hope of heaven. And Father, we thank you that you have set us on this pathway. Lord, we thank you that you haven't set us out here alone, that you have promised to be with us, and you have been with us every step of the way. And Lord, when we couldn't go on ourselves, you have picked us up and carried us. And Lord, we thank you for your presence, your help. We thank you for heaven. We thank you for Jesus, who died to pay for our sins, and we just come rejoicing to be on that path. Lord, as we have come to worship You, use this hour to better prepare us for heaven and better prepare us for inviting others to come along with us. And thank You for that privilege to be a part of Your work here on earth. Now use us for Your honor and for Your glory, whether we be here in this sanctuary or whether we be out in the world living the Christian life. Thank You in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated.
It's now time for the Apostles' Creed as we speak what we believe. If you would, please join with me, since 716 in your hymnal or on the wall behind me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our sin this morning, our call to confession. Repent and believe. The time is fulfilled. God's realm is near. Christ is present with us now. Come, bring your confession before God. If you would, join with me in our prayer of confession. God of hope and help, show us Your ways. Lead us in Your truth. Do not remember the sins of our youth, or the sins of this past week. Even as we remember the error of our ways, we ask for Your forgiveness and Your grace. Help us know You so completely that we may walk in Your paths of love and righteousness and live in the light of Your grace. Amen. Our words of assurance this morning from Isaiah 43, verse 25. I, even I, am He who blots out your transgressions for My own sake and remembers your sins no more. If you would please open up your hymnals, number 81.
Thank you. Jesus, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He cleansed my heart from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now He reigns and rules within.
What a wonderful Savior.
What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Our offertory sentence today from Matthew 25, verse 4. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Would our ushers come forward, please? And if we didn't, we might need to grab some ushers.
Go to God in prayer. Lord God, thank you. You have blessed us. You have blessed us spiritually, and you have blessed us materially. Lord, we want to share the work, and we know that financial resources are required to carry on your work in this community and around the world. And we pray your blessings upon the gifts that will be given. And we thank you for the privilege of participating in building your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
when you get drafted, you tend to fall apart. Now it's time for children's time.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So were you excited this morning when you woke up and all that pretty white snow was outside? I love it when there's a new fallen snow early in the morning, you know, and you go outside and walk around before everything's gotten messed up. It just looks so clean and white and pretty. And it's just amazing the things that you can see, little tracks, you know, where little animals have come and things. But it's just so clean and so white. And you know what? It made me think this morning when I was looking at that. You know, there's only one way that we can really be washed clean, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're in the Easter season right now, the Lent season, preparing for Easter. And, you know, that's what Christ died for us on the cross. And he shed his blood for us, for me and for you. And there was a verse that I found this morning that made me think a lot about this. You know, in Acts 22:16 it says, "And now, why are you waiting? You know, what are we waiting on? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of Jesus Christ." And that's what it's all about. That's what we need to do. So when you look at that pretty white snow, there's a way that you can be white as snow. And it's not washed with water. You know, we baptize with water as a symbol, but it's, we're washed with the blood of Jesus. So there's a song out right now that says, it's talking about he's getting ready to get married and her daddy wants to know, or her mama wants to know, are you washed? Her daddy wants to know, are you washed in the water? But his mother wants to know, her mother wants to know, are you washed in the blood? That's the answer. We've got to be washed in the blood. So what are we waiting for? Let's think about that today. As we take communion, we do that as a symbol of the blood that was shed for us, right? And his body that was broken for us. Let's remember. Let's call on the name of the Lord. What are we waiting for? Let's be washed in the blood.
The Gospel of Mark, we've lived with it for, I guess you could say, a long time this year. Haven't preached from much else. Mark tells about Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper. While they were eating. That's the Gospel of Mark, verse 14. And that was verse 22 of the beginning of it. They were eating the Passover. They were remembering how God had miraculously delivered His people from the bondage, from slavery in Egypt. Jewish people met and meet yearly to remember, celebrate, observe the Passover. Jesus met with His disciples. While they were eating, Jesus instituted something for us to remember Him by, and Him freeing us from sin or providing a way to be forgiven of our sin. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take it. This is My body." Then He took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them. And they all drank from it. "This is My blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many," He said to them. "I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God."
Praise your God.
There's no way to leave that stanza on the screen if you would like to use that as your meditation. If Sally and Jerry, Jim and Deborah, and John and Sam will join me. This is the Lord's table. We remember His dying on the cross. A broken body, shed blood to pay for our sins. If you are trusting in Jesus as the forgiver of your sin, or another way to say it, as your Savior, please join together with us in remembering His great sacrifice for you. Lord God, the bread really represents Your body, but make it real to us that in the eating that we can truly remember how much You love us and what You gave for our redemption, our salvation. And we thank You. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you. The cup, the fruit of the vine, representing the shed blood of Jesus. Lord God, we know it's not really blood, but we know what it represents. And we claim anew Your gift, forgiveness, eternal life, sealed with the covenant. Thank You. Yes, it's in Jesus' name. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, having received, now will you give. Congregation, receive and share with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
The scripture today comes from the NIV version of Mark 1:9-15. It says, "At the time Jesus came to Nazareth in Galilee, he was baptized John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am pleased. Excuse me. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news."
Thank you. Good to see each of you this morning. We woke up, I guess about 3 o'clock, looked out, peeped out the window, and didn't know what would happen. And Carol said, "Are you going to make it?" And I said, "Well, I'm going to try. I've not missed a Sunday because of snow, but it 18 miles is a little bit different than 1.5. or 1.8 or whatever it was here, got out, and there was, I think Susan said, 8 inches of snow there. And what's the furthest north we go from here today? We didn't have a lot of snow even in Antioch, is that right? But I think the further south it went, that's not the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be cold up north, but a lot of times somehow, I guess, the Tennessee River has something to do with it. Is that the way it works? And some moisture there or something coming out of the south? But anyhow, it was a little exciting to leave home after I got the snow swept off and my boots on and my galoshes on, but got out on the highway. Everything was fine. A slick spot or two. Actually, between here and Triune, it was probably more slick than it was anywhere else on the road. The season of Lent. But the title of the sermon, as you can see, is From the Wilderness. And there's a lot of wilderness experiences in the Bible. Today we find Jesus in a wilderness experience, or spending time in the wilderness. And this is a lesson that's prescribed for, if you choose to follow it, nobody tells us to, just make it available to us if you follow a lectionary for an electionary, I'll say again, is a scripture passage from the Old Testament plus the Psalms, which is also the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the gospel lesson, and an epistle lesson, or sometimes they substitute the book of Acts as a book of history, and sometimes they substitute the book of Revelation for one of these. Different seasons of the year, and there's a scripture lesson listed for every Sunday in the year for 3 years. So we're in year B, as we call it now. Last year was year A, since this is year B, and next year will be year C. And sometimes I follow the lectionary lessons, and sometimes I don't. Now, a group of church leaders got together years ago and figured out scripture so you'd kind of cover the Bible in a 3-year period. Then every once in a while they get together again and revise it. So we're working from the Revised Common Lectionary. Now the Catholics have another one, the Lutherans have another one, and some people don't use one, and I haven't used one always. But the lesson today, since I am kind of following a lectionary this year, not bound to it, but go and see what it says each week, is about Jesus being in the wilderness after his baptism. Or that's the emphasis we want to give today, because we've already dealt with Jesus and his baptism some weeks ago. So saying all that, we're in the season of Lent. Lent is a period of time set aside to commemorate the lengthening of the days. And how many of you have noticed that the days are longer now? That's where the word comes from. And since December the 21st, 22nd, the shortest day of the year is December the 21st, I believe. Is that right? Normally. The longest day of the year is June the 21st or the 22nd. Somewhere right there. And that's kind of when the earth changes, and I don't understand that equinox and all like that. Do you know what we're talking about? Well, some people keep up with it. And the days are about, I believe, if I've figured it correctly, and I've tried, but my math, not the best in math, you know that, but I think it's about a minute longer every day. And right now, the days are about 60, 70 minutes longer than they were on December the 21st. Have you noticed that? And it barely 5 o'clock, it'd be dark, right? You remember? Back in, right before Christmas, or about Christmas, somewhere close to 5 o'clock, and now it's a little after 6 o'clock. So I think we get a minute in the morning and a minute in the evening. Does that sound right? Wow, got through that. Okay, the days are lengthening, and we've got more daylight time, and we're going to be happier. We're not going to be depressed because we've got sunshine and all like that. So the church spends 40 days getting ready for Easter. Now, we're in that 40 days right now. But Sunday is not one of them 40 days. But so today is not one of them, but yesterday was, and tomorrow will be. So we're spending 40 days from Ash Wednesday, which was the 25th this year, 25th of February, and then we'll go till Saturday midnight before Easter. And we observe a season, and some people fast and pray. And I'm not going to ask you if you're fasting and praying, because Jesus says, kind of keep it a secret if you're doing it. And I experimented with fasting and praying, was it last year, a year before last, but I couldn't keep it a secret. I had opportunities to give testimony of it, and hoping that that would be an encouragement. I was dealing with a couple of churches as a member of Presbytery, and I had to deal with a couple of churches. A committee did, and I was a member of that committee. They were going through tough times. And I said, I've been fasting for you. Well, one woman said, well, if you can fast for us till, I was kind of selected, till 5 o'clock every day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. She said, surely we can do something here at our church. They did, but she left the church anyway, so it didn't last long with her. So what good my fasting did for her, and maybe that was a blessing for the church. Every time somebody changed churches, it may not be a real bad thing. We cry when it happens. We don't want it to happen, but sometimes it has to. But anyhow, penance, fasting, doing something good, giving up something, and et cetera, et cetera. Ash Wednesday. Now, where do we get Ash Wednesday? We celebrated or observed it here Wednesday night. Some people had some ashes placed on their forehead in the sign of the cross. Brother John Hyden was here, and he did it for us all. And then I applied the ashes to his face as a sign that he was entering into a period of reflection, penitence, sorrow for our sins, etc., etc. Now, that's not in the Bible. Or is it? To do it on Wednesday, it's not in the Bible. But it may be in the Bible. It may be in the Bible. Ash Wednesday. In the Bible, we read about people when they are sorry for their sins, they dress in sackcloth. And what I grew up with seeing in being sacks to bring feed in was, they called it tosacks, but it was burlap. And I think you can still go to the fabric store and or the fabric section of a big store and find some burlap. And it was kind of ragged, and it had been thrown around, and it wasn't very good material. Still not. It won't hold up under rough conditions. But it would get feed from the feed factory or where they sacked it to the farmer. But they would put sackcloth and ashes. And they kind of apply ashes to their body and rub their body with ashes as a sign of we're sinners. We're dirty sinners. And sometimes they would even take something, piece of pottery, a broken pottery, and scrape themselves or cut themselves. Now this moved over into the New Testament too, and in the early centuries of the Christian church, and some priests or people that wanted to be real close to God were really working for Him. They'd go out and I never did want to do this, get naked and roll in a bunch of briars. Thorn bushes or maybe blackberry bushes, they're pretty thorny, aren't they? To persecute themselves for the sins that they had committed. I'm going to wait and let God do the persecuting, and I never wanted to get naked and go roll in a briar patch. So, anyhow. But the Bible, though it doesn't mention Ash Wednesday or the custom of Lent, the practice of repentance is throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament, or the call for repentance. And mourning, crying, being sad over the sin. And this is found in 2 Samuel, in Esther, in Job, and in Daniel, and other places too. And to express mourning, sometimes they would rub ashes or dust ashes on themselves, and it was just express sorrow. I've sinned, and I'm sorry for it, and I'm going to go around dirty in ashes to show the world that I'm not proud of what I'm doing. Now, other examples are found in Job, I think, scraped himself with the pottery and put ashes on. And he says, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then you find Jonah, the king in Nineveh. The people were sinful, and he sat in ashes. And back in Numbers, we find it. And then in the New Testament. Now, some people say it's not a good practice. And they go to Matthew 6, where Jesus said, if you're going to fast, don't put on a long face. If you're going to fast, do it kind of privately. So, if we're going to fast, I'm going to suggest don't make a big show of it. But I really believe if you can use it some way to teach a lesson or let somebody know that you're praying for them. Because Jesus also says when you pray, go into the closet. But he also has examples of public prayer also. But don't make a big show and don't show how wise you are or how many big words that you know. So anyhow, 40 days. 40 days. Kind of the remembrance of the 40 days of Jesus in the wilderness. And that's what we hope that it will help us to remember. Now, Mark gives a little short version of Jesus being in the wilderness. Matthew and Luke, they elaborate. They tell more of the story. Years ago, the Reader's Digest don't think they ever did it, doing a condensed version of the Bible. You remember that? I mean, they were going to they condensed every other book in the world. Why not the Bible, they thought. Thought people needed a condensed version. Well, there was a great uproar. But, and rightly so. I didn't think they needed to leave any out. All Scripture is given and is beneficial, given by God is beneficial. I think as Peter said this. But Mark gives us a condensed version of the life of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, and Mark is, what, 15 chapters, 16 chapters? Matthew is 28, Luke is 24, and longer chapters. But Mark kind of condensed, especially the story of Jesus' time in the desert, where he was tempted by Satan. And if we can use the time of Lent between now and Easter to remember that Jesus went and dealt with Satan on our behalf, if you will, and set us a good example, and in the fourth chapter of Luke and the fourth chapter of Matthew, both of them in the fourth chapter, if you'll go and read, you can read the expanded version or the expanded account of Jesus in the desert. Talk about how, the details of how Satan tempted Jesus. Now, Mark just says that he tempted him. So if we can use this to remember how Jesus has dealt with Satan on our behalf and how he went through a tough time in his life, for lack of a better word that will come to me right now. Spending in the wilderness, and it was following his baptism. I've often said we need to remember that after we make a commitment to the Lord, our God, and Jesus Christ, that's when Satan really gets busy. If he did it to Jesus, how could we even begin to think that he wouldn't come after us? It was after Jesus' baptism that the devil came and started trying to get him to turn his back on God the Father. Now, I like to think of this, and it doesn't really matter, I guess, what I like to think of, but I like to think of this as a time for us to draw near to God. God says if you draw near, the Scripture says, and I think God inspired it, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And basically that's what we see happening Jesus doing in the desert, especially if you read Matthew and Luke, the fourth chapter about that. A time for us to draw near to God. A time for us to search ourselves and see, take account of ourselves. See how well we have done in living the Christian life or how badly we have done in living for Jesus. Time when we realize that we haven't been what we ought to have been. What God would have us to be, we would repent of that. We would turn away from it and seek God's help and leadership, seek the presence of His Spirit to enable us to live better tomorrow and the next tomorrow and next week and next month and all of the year, if you will. It's a time to renew our commitments to God, or it can be this. And I think it's somewhat like our New Year's resolution. How many of us made a New Year's resolution? I didn't this year. How many made a New Year's resolution? None of you did? Oh, surely somebody did. Well, I can't ask how many kept them. How many? They usually last about 4 days, right? Maybe. Hopefully, this will be better than our New Year's resolution. It's just as good not to make them if we don't keep them as it is to make them and not keep them. But then, is it? The intent, the desire, the hope. But then we say, throw it to the wind and I got to have some fun. I'm tired of all this. That's what often happens, isn't it? Hopefully, for those who forget their resolution about the third week, to say for the most, hopefully our Lenten resolutions and commitment will last longer. Hopefully it'll last at least 4-6 weeks. And if we get in the habit of doing something good for 6 weeks, don't go out and celebrate. That's the problem with alcoholics. They do good. They do good for a period of time, and they look and say, oh, I'm doing so good, let's go celebrate, and wow, wipe it all out. Do they not? Make it renewing our commitment. Okay. A journey to Easter. Isn't that the big day for Christians? We'll fill this place. I hope we do. We'll fill it. We'll rejoice. We'll hope they're going to come back and worship with us every Sunday. They ain't going to do it. Hopefully some of them will. But to get there, we need to be ready. We need to be prepared ourselves. And to get there, we pass by Calvary and the cross. And I think I preached on that a few weeks ago. I'm not sure just when. Hopefully, as we go to the cross, as we go to Easter, there'll be some things along the way in our private devotions and in our, hopefully in our worship devotions, in the music that's presented from this congregation or out of this congregation. Hopefully, we'll find some things that we need to know and that will be helpful to us in living for Jesus as we journey to Easter this Lenten season. Today, we learn. It's a wilderness journey. It's a wilderness journey. Sometimes the word in the Bible for wilderness may be referring to a desert, too. I think those words are interchangeable sometime, or interchanged sometime. A desert. Dry. Sometimes it's dry. And sometimes we go dry spiritually, do we not? You ever just felt dry spiritually? What do we try to do? Some people will change churches, go where they're being fed more. Some people will just quit the church, just give up. And some people will dig into the Word and really consume it and feed on the Word of God. And then some people will pray a lot. And you know which one is the positive response. If you feel far away from God, it's probably not Him that's moved. No, He's probably through that. God hadn't moved. It's us. So some people run back to God, and that's the good part. That's the positive. It's a wilderness journey. But notice in the Scripture, it is Spirit-directed. The Spirit of God. At once, the Spirit, verse 12, sent Him out into the desert. Just after, notice, God had said from heaven, "This is My Son. I'm so pleased with Him." And the Spirit sent Him out into the desert, or to the wilderness, and He was in the desert for 40 days. Wow. You ever, I think I've asked, have you been in that wilderness? Have you been in that wilderness spiritually? In walking where every step is a dangerous step? Might have been when you went off to college. Or it might be when you go off to college. Oh, that's a wilderness, isn't it? You who went off. You went off for a new job in another town. Couldn't find a job around your place and went off to... Years ago, it was coming to the big city to get a job. Well, that's a wilderness, isn't it? Spiritually dry, too, isn't it? You've been there, haven't you? Some of you have. Kind of let it all hang out. Heard a testimony yesterday. Jerry was there, and who else was there? Julie was there, and let me look. Guy said he went off to college. He was a preacher's son and probably been to church all of his life, every day, every Sunday. He was deathly sick. I knew his mom and daddy. He said, about the first Sunday he was there, was it the first Sunday he was that way at college, he decided to skip church, just sleep in. He was free now. He didn't have to do what he said he felt about all week. And it made such an impression on him. They'd probably drug him to church. That probably made him so mad some days going to church. He didn't say this, but I know him. Know his family, and know his mama and his daddy and his brothers. And I'm sure some people talk about they're afraid to make their kids go to church because they're sour on it. Well, we always thought that we wanted them to know how important church was to us, and we didn't let them stay home from school, you know, real school, so they were going to Sunday school. If they got sired on it, it wouldn't be our fault. They'd have to turn against it. Is that right, girls? You don't have to. That's a rhetorical question. Please don't talk back to me. Okay. Okay. Many temptations out there. Chuck testified of the temptation just to sleep in. And at Bethel College, it wasn't a Sunday school class every day. There were opportunities to get in trouble there. Dangerous. See, the devil was there, Satan. Satan's everywhere, is he not? Is there any place that you've been that you haven't found him? And he's always enticing you. Enticing me. Enticing us away from that which is good. He was tempted by Satan, and it wasn't a short period of time, 40 days. Being tempted by Satan. And Ephesians, Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, I believe it's in the 6th chapter, I believe it begins about the 10th verse. And he talks about we're at war. Spiritual warfare. It says we're at war, Christians are. But we're not at war against flesh and blood. But we're at war against spiritual powers. And so they can slip up on us sometime and we can't even see them. Go read the 6th chapter of Ephesians if you want to know about the war that you might experience when you get away from home. You teenagers are about to go off to college. And then we can read about those that we've experienced when we took off ourselves. Said there was wild animals there. I don't know what they were, but desert animals. The wolves, I guess. Even some deserts have rodents that have the black plague still. They found it down in Arizona a few years ago. But there were also some angels. Agents of God. God didn't leave His Son alone. He sent His angels to minister to Him. And God sends angels to minister to us. Our protective angel, our guardian angel. How many times have we been protected in no way to explain it? No way to explain it. Wild animals, but also angels. Agents of God to come and protect us. What did this do? This experience in the desert, it's a good experience if we make it through. If we don't submit to the temptation of Satan, if we don't run off after him, it ready Jesus to preach, and he preached, the kingdom of God is near. And he called on the people who came to hear him, repent, believe the good news. And you remember we've been reading from, or studying from, I've been trying to preach from the rest of Mark chapter 1 and over into chapter 2. And people flocked to him. Was it just for the healing? Or was it to hear the preaching? And he went throughout the area and said, I've got to go preach there. So this experience in the desert readied, made him ready to go and preach. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So that's my sermon to you, right from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus has provided a way for us to get out of the wilderness too, because that's where he died. I mean, that's when he died. We celebrated. We don't have to live in the wilderness. He's provided a way out of the wilderness for us by the death of his Son, but not only the death. Easter is the resurrection. Death could not hold him. God raised him up. The first fruits of them that sleep. And he takes us through our faith in him out of the desert, raises us up and sets us on a new plane of life and sends us forth as kingdom members, members of his heavenly kingdom. The song called it Zion. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for Jesus setting the example for us, but thank you more especially that it's more than an example that he died to pay for our sins. In him, we trust. In Jesus, we trust. Yes, Lord, we know that that's trusting in you because he is you with flesh and blood in a human body come to give his life a ransom for us. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, thank you. And praise be unto you. Amen and amen. Number 51, we're going to sing the first two verses. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. And just, it's a kind of a prayer, if you will, for God to guide us through this season of preparation that we can truly celebrate with joy and rejoicing on Easter morn 2009. Stand together, if you will. Maybe some of you have a public response to make, and we invite you to make that as we sing together. Verse 1 and 2.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this wearisome land. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no
Let us go forth in the assurance that Jesus is our strength and our shield. Amen and amen. You are dismissed. Good to see you, young man.